Hi everyone. Well, this is a brand new resource called The Condition of Our Heart, and it is essential for you and I to know through revelation the condition of our own hearts so we can truly seek Him and know what we need from Him, that we could become the fullness of Christ, becoming Christ-like and not just living as Christians. And I am fully convinced that knowing the state of our heart before Christ is essential, just like it is knowing as we come to know Christ and then as we mature in Christ. It'll be the condition of our heart which will determine our transformation. Let me say that again. It'll be the true condition of our heart that will determine the true transformation. And if we don't know the true condition of our heart, then we won't grow and we'll end up rejecting the word of God, the very thing God has sent, because we'll ultimately be in fear because we won't be able to see our true state. And to truly be able to relinquish your life, one needs to be able to see their true state, their true heart condition without Christ, to which the scriptures declare. Because once we see that, and we see who He is, and we see what's on offer, we lay hold of what's on offer in Him in a way that we can't lay hold of it if we don't see our true spiritual state. The reason why this is so essential is because the state or the condition of our heart will determine whether we hear and what we hear, whether we see what we see, whether we receive and what we receive, whether and what we believe, whether and what we accept, whether we understand, and whether we come to know all that Christ has intended for us to become. So with that in mind, I want us to go on this journey together of unpacking this resource, looking at the beginning of the condition of the human heart, and just how important it is that we grasp the significance of this heart becoming healthy, vibrant, and fertile through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Genesis 3, 1 to 7 gives us the reason why the heart is in the condition that it is. And Jeremiah 17, 9 describes the condition of the heart due to the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. So let's read out those couple of passages and dig into what we can see. Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Due to Adam and Eve partaking of this fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they both died spiritually, just as God said it would actually happen. Their hearts had become contaminated with iniquity and sin. And we see right at the end of Genesis, they sowed fig leaves to cover over the state, because their eyes were now open, they saw their nakedness, and they were made aware of a reality that God didn't want them to know. And so they covered over. And this, although covering over physically, is symbolic of us. We cover over our hearts. We cover them over, and God needs to uncover, and we put walls up now to protect ourselves. Adam and Eve were covering over physically to protect themselves from being exposed as naked. We do that spiritually in our heart, which causes our heart through this partaking to be deceitful and desperately sick. And we don't even realize it, because although we are physically alive, and although Adam and Eve were physically alive, their hearts had become poisoned with death, separated from God. The spiritual state of their hearts had instantly changed from life to death. And we instantly see this disposition expressed through their behavior towards God. And from this point on, as I just explained, it is from this reality and truth that Jeremiah now describes the condition of every human being's heart when conceived. So let's unpack this heart that is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Now, the word deceitful means guilty of or involving deceit, deceiving, or misleading others. I guess we can ask ourselves, is it any wonder some of the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he left was, "See to it that no one misleads you." Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you." And Jesus would not entrust himself to man, for he knew what was in the heart of man. It's so easy to believe and think this is someone else's heart condition, but not mine. That's why it's so important that we firstly know the true state of our own heart condition. It's so easy to think it's the heart condition of other people who do really evil things and bad things in this world. Things like murder and rape, child molestery, someone who is a compulsive liar, a manipulator, etc., etc. No, this deceitful and desperately sick heart is the heart of every single person born in iniquity of sin, regardless of anyone's behavior. It is a nature that sits within you. To not know your own true heart condition through revelation is to not believe this reality, and to continue to believe you are a good person at your core. You deny this fact. You reject it. You know that you're not perfect and that you make mistakes, but you do not agree that you are deceitful at heart and desperately sick of heart. As mentioned, at your core, you still believe you are good. This is why people believe it's about being good and doing good works that gets you into eternity with God. This is why the last words in the verse of Jeremiah says, "Who can understand it?" Who can understand the sick heart, this heart full of deceit? Even the person themselves can't. Once again, this isn't about others first, but it's about you and I. We don't even believe it or understand it about ourselves. And yet this is our true condition. And we say it's not. And if we say it's not, then we call God a liar, because God is telling us it is. As the one who created us, as the one who knows how far we have fallen, he's telling you this is your true state. So to say it's not is to call God a liar. And as I've mentioned earlier, we inherently believe we are good and that we do not believe what the words of God say. Romans 3:9-12. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. This is a very sobering reality. and one that man struggles with emphatically to believe and receive due to the very deceitfulness which is embedded within him. Man being male and female, as the scriptures teach. Because our heart is deceitful and desperately sick, we have no capacity within ourselves to receive this truth. So we reject and deny this truth aggressively, to the point we may become quite aggressive and physically abuse the one who is preaching. And we see this in the scriptures, and we see this around the world. The problem lies in the deepest recesses of the human heart, which David described as the hidden place. This is why many are unaware of this true state, because it lives and lies in the hidden recesses of our very being. We only really start to be made aware of this true heart condition when either the word of God is testified to and it starts to threaten this inner heart posture, or when our self-centered expectations are not met. Luke 9:55 is a great example of this with James and John. It says this in 51, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Question. That Jesus says, you do not know, or a statement, what kind of spirit you are of. These are the words of Christ to his two disciples, James and John. Not one single person who has been born of the image of Adam is without this deceitful and sick heart, no matter what their relationship to Christ is, or their bloodline, or their culture. As Romans 2:23 says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. The enormity of what Jesus Christ had to go through to reconcile man unto the Father should give us a good indication of the size of the heart problem that exists due to the fall. The heart state of man is and was evil, and it still is, and it requires and required the perfect sacrifice to atone for it. Just have a listen to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:1-5 in relation to his true state. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And so this is the starting point to understanding your true heart condition before Christ, and the need for Christ's power to do a work to raise us from death to life. So some questions to grapple with. What is the difference between reading of a reality in the scriptures and knowing the reality which the scriptures testify of? Have you considered that you were born with a heart that is deceitful and desperately sick? Explain why or why not. Why does this start with us before it starts or is about anyone else? Why does revelation of the Spirit play such a significant part in the knowing of our true heart condition? And what do you reckon it would have been like being James and John and having Jesus tell you that you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. You don't know your true heart condition, guys. We'll look forward to part 2. See you soon.